No, we're not going to sing the sermon song. Kids, you're going. And since you open up your Bibles this morning, Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And the family of God in church. This is lessons that we have here from the book of Hebrews in the last few Sundays. And certainly, faithfulness to the Lord. And as Tozer said, second to, I love thee, O Lord, as I love thy word and I love thy church. And it ought to be the truth and the paramount blessing and joy and doctrine in our hearts. And what we share here this morning, truly, in the house of the Lord as a member of the body of Christ, and that we need to be continually just indoctrinated, if you will, in this. In our love and responsibility and obedience unto Christ and to one another here as the body of Christ. And it's no exaggeration at all. And it's not no new news in that how church membership is incredibly and terribly declining, and we find that in comparison, as we read earlier from Acts in the early church, if you miss church, as they met in their houses, the designated places, and if you weren't there, they just figured, well, we got to get to him because obviously he was never born again. She was never born again. You don't miss church. Yes, you're fulfilling a mandate, a responsibility. But above all, you're following the desire and love of your heart. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be where the small group is gathering. I want to be there. I want to be with my brothers and sisters and see how they are. And as we bring our temples together, oh, we're together. We're going to worship the Lord. I want to worship the Lord. And then that, when you come to church, versus when you miss church, you will never get outside of the assembly, which you will receive only in the assembly. And the reason that is, I mean, you have your personal devotions and Bible studies, absolutely. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, the proclamation of His word. Now, you think, was it all about the preacher, the messenger? No, because you, as God's people, you are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you, indwells you. And when you bring your temples, do you not know that your body is the temple of the living God? You bring your temples together. There is the manifest presence of the Spirit of God. And in the assembly, when the Spirit of God is full and free, and there the word flows, and therefore you will get from the Lord what He has for you in no other time and in no other place. And there are many times I grieve. I truly do grieve because of the erratic attendance of God's people. I understand and trusting that the Lord does. But we know there are those times and that's where it is, even due to work requirements or what have you, and certainly to go away on a vacation. And there as you take the Lord with you. But being in church, the Lord's house, being in worship and public worship, it's the throb of your heart. And should not be contested easily by anything, but to be in the house of God. And so speaking to the church here, before as we read our text, He says three times, let us. Three times, us. Let us. The apostle is speaking to the assembly, to the body. Let us, in verse 22, draw near. 23, let us hold fast the profession of faith. 24, let us consider one another and provoke one another to good works. Reading Hebrews 10, beginning there, verse number 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, my, we could preach on that for a very, very, very long time. For it is the blood of his cross that opened a way for you and I to come boldly in the righteousness of Jesus as a child of God and bow before the Father. That is a privilege that is beyond words to explain. And we know he opened us a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. My dear friends, if you went before God in the Holy of Holies behind the veil and the blood of the sacrificial lamb was not pure, you as the high priest, unpure blood, you were struck dead. And along with that, we know, as the Word of God says, the law kills. The law kills. We can't keep the law, and therefore we die. One sin. How many in here have committed at least one sin in your life? And thereby death, we die. So this new and living way. Now, when you just compare the two quickly, that the high priest once a year, only once a year, into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of the people, compared to now that through Jesus Christ, we can come directly to the Father as priests of God, the church. And you compare the two. And the one is because sin has brought death upon the human race, and the high priest went in to offer that atonement. And here we are through Jesus Christ, who offered his blood on Calvary's cross and offered his basin of blood, all of it, to the Father for your sins and mine, the very Son of God. Man very man and God very God, indivisible he was. And the Father accepted the pure blood of the spotless Lamb of God, spotless, for the payment for our sins. And therefore, that is why the veil was torn. And no longer do we have a man representative, man only man, to go in to make intercession for us on the Day of Atonement. But the Messiah himself has come and paid the price, appeased the wrath, purchased our redemption. And therefore, you and I, as a child of God, we can come boldly to the throne of God. And he sees us. And he honors us through the blood of his Son and the righteousness of his Son. Otherwise, he would strike us dead. How dare we take God for granted? And we are so loose with him. And we are so lack in appreciating and in reverence and fear that I can come before God at any time and address him as my Father. This all Christ has provided for us and won for us at Calvary's cross. The great price that he paid. And he, verse 21, is the high priest over us. Constantly making intercession. For the example, you know, as you come to the Father, Holy Father, I come to you this morning, I come to you this afternoon, I come to you this evening, I come to you while I'm driving my truck, I come to you while I'm doing whatever, because I come to you in acute awareness of my sinfulness and your great love for me. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I come to you as a child of God, covered in his blood righteousness. I come to you, not in my own righteousness. Nothing have I to bring to you, but my confession of faith in Jesus Christ as my Son, and therefore your promise of his covering upon my heart and life. I come to you. That's the beauty and the joy of this. I come to you. So every time as we live and come into the presence of the Lord, he sees us and he acknowledges us through Jesus Christ. And if he didn't, we wouldn't even last a nanosecond. The joy of being a child of God. The glory and the wonder of the cross. And it's all because of love. For God so loved. So loved. I am loved. You were loved by God so deeply. That's why he says, it's not about the burning, smoking darkness and fiery mountain where the law was given, but it's about Mount Calvary, where love was spilled out, poured out from the body of Christ for you and me. As he presented his life to the Father on our behalf. And the Father who 3 years before said, "This is my beloved Son," at his baptism, you listen to him, is the Father that received in fullness as he looked upon his Son, the purity of his blood covering the sins of all the world. And all who believe in Jesus Christ, believing in the heart that he is Christ, confessing so with the mouth, shall be what? Saved. Shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be what?
Saved.
What are you going to add to it? Nothing. What are you going to add to it?
Nothing.
What are you going to add to it?
Nothing.
What can you add to it?
Nothing.
How dare you add to it? What is it? How much?
Nothing.
Nothing. It is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. And when you and I, when we get to heaven one day, certainly we know that I am here. I am here. I am here. And the only reason I'm here, not because I was a preacher, not because I did this or I did that. I'm here by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The only reason. Only reason. If my sins would condemn me, I'd have been done dead a long time ago. Oh, it's all about Jesus. He talks to the congregation, to the assembly. He is saying in these three times, let us, he's saying, let us worship together. Let us worship together. He says here in verse 22, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. How are you living? How are you living? Your sins covered. How are you living? And walking in the ways of Christ. Let us hold fast the confession of faith of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to his covenant promises. He cannot, as we studied last week, and also on Wednesday night, he cannot not forgive you. He cannot be faithful to you, child of God, in the covenant promise he has established with you through his Son, Jesus Christ. He cannot. He cannot lie. He cannot be untrue to himself. It's impossible for him to be untrue to himself. And for that, we are glad. You glad for that, Brother Mike? Oh, man. For that we are glad. You glad for that, Brother Rick? Amen. You glad for that, Sister Nikki? Amen. And we are. He is true to himself. So don't get ever to thinking too highly of yourself. So bear in mind that the Lord presented himself as a living sacrifice for us. And by trusting in Jesus Christ, born again, born into the family of God, a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then coming in membership to the local assembly, and that we look at these duties that we are responsible for. This is why, as a member of the local body, this is what we do. This is why we joined. This is why we're here. First of all, our duties as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our duty to openly profess to a watching world who we believe and why. Our life is a living epistle. The epistle of Christ. A letter that is easy to read. They know who you are and they know who you believe in. And so don't just be content with exercising faith in him as your Savior. But no, go live it out. Just as your sister shared this morning, go live it out as yous do. Sharing with others. You have opportunities. Share Jesus. Share his love. Live it out. And in this profession of faith, as he says here, you know, we hold fast without wavering. Without wavering. People are going to try to knock you off your feet. They're going to scour you, knock you down, even perhaps persecute you, even to the point of death. But you hold fast your confession of faith without wavering. Because he who is faithful promised. Promised. So come what may, we look unto Jesus. And therefore, for the health and the body of the church should be the last place where there is difficulties and problems. But things happen because we're human. And we get our eyes off of Christ and away from his doctrine. That so we find here that we could know the persecution, you know, in struggles. We got to cut from the old ways that influence us. Habits, lifestyles, what we're passionately pursuing must absolutely have to change, perhaps. Especially if it's not in line with the will of God for your life, now that you're going to serve him and be with him and you're trusting in him and even with your even family. You even have to break from family. That's what the Lord said. I didn't come to bring harmony and peace and unity. I come to bring the sword. And there's times in your lives, and some of you know that, and you're estranged by your family because of your love for Christ. They don't understand you. Friends don't understand you. People think you're silly, you're odd, or even just downright stupid for following this thing called Christianity. And in the name of its leader, Jesus Christ. You know, what is this about you? And they don't know. They don't understand. And so our whole life and conversation should be about whose we are and whom we serve. Because the promises, this is something that we made up. It's right here. It's in the Word of God. He established the church. That's why we follow the apostles' doctrine. That's why we read in Acts, they followed the apostles' doctrine. Because of the investment of 3 years in the apostles and Christ taught them. And the establishment of the church. The doctrines of Jesus Christ. And we have his word right here. So and when he says and reads here and proclaims to us to be faithful unto the Lord's house and being steadfast, because he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession and all that who he is and what he's promised, and therefore who we are as a child of God. And secondly, that our duties as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to the members of his mystical body. Members of his body. You don't just come into church to sing, do your thing, serve, do your little responsibilities, whatever you're called to do, and walk back out of here. When you come in among the family, just as when you go home and you're with your family, you gather with the family, you pay attention to each other, I hope so. You know, at least you have at least 3 minutes, maybe, perhaps, you put the phone down and you look at each other. Are you okay? You all right? Your one eye seems to be drooping. You don't seem very happy. Well, why should I seem happy? You're more interested in that phone than you are me. But you pay attention to each other. This is what it is in the body of Christ. We are united with each other. And first of all, when we do not come to the Lord's house on a regular basis, we are showing indifference to the body of Christ. Indifference to the others. You're not that important to me. And isn't it amazing that regular church attendance has gone from every Sunday to I'll go as long as it doesn't interfere with anything. As long as it doesn't crowd in upon all my family things, which leads us all to understand that yes, no, we don't have to be in church, but yet we do have to be in church. He commands it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but stir each other up, and that is another thing, and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Yes, you do have to be in church, but here's the only place that you worship. You worship everywhere. Your whole life is a life of worship, but you're part of the family. And when we're not here, in the Apostles' Day, whether by cowardice or worldly mindedness, they forsook the assemblies. And you'll see the accounts through the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts and others, and where Paul wrote, so-and-so forsook me. These walked away, just as they walked away from Jesus Christ in his days, in his ministry, because his teachings got too hard, too tough, too tight. And he walked away. And he told his disciples, he looked at his boys and he says, men, are you too going to walk away? Peter says, well, where are we going to go? For you have the words of life. So know that as long as we are in this assembly here, and by the grace of God, as long as I am your pastor, that you're going to get words of life on a Sunday morning that will affect your whole life. And you've been used to that in this church. You have had fantastic, godly Bible preaching pastors. What a rich heritage in this church. Beautiful. And anytime Pastor Walt stands in the pulpit, you know you're going to get the Word of God. And others who have preached, Brother Brandon, Brother Mikey, Brother Kirk, and others, and you go to your Sunday school classes, you know you're going to get the Word of God. The words of God. It's a mutual, then secondly, it's a mutual care. You take care of each other. You look at each other. You take notice. We all live our lives out there, and we put our smiley faces on. As we walk out the door, we get the happy face out of the jar by the door. The old Beatles song. And we put it on. But we don't turn it on until we come into the house of the Lord. Then we turn the button. Because we want to be happy and all. But you see, when we're involved in each other's lives, and we understand and we know that things aren't well, things aren't right, or that a brother or sister is struggling personally in darkness or sin or things that have happened in their life and they're just struggling, we come alongside each other to stir each other, to help each other, to nourish each other, and provide whatever means might be, as it was in the early church, to help along. It's our responsibility so that the whole body is edified, and therefore we bring our talents and our abilities that God has given us, that we employ that in and through the body of Christ. And it's harder and harder all the time to get men to serve. Why? Why? Where is the love for Christ? Bring our lives in that encouragement. He says, stir up. Verse 24, consider one another. That's what we're doing. You're taking notice of each other. And so you stir each other up in a good way. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Stir up your faith, young man. You have a faith that is inherited in you from a strong line of your mom and your grandma and on back. He says, stir it up. Come on, boy. Remember the promises of God and whose you are and who you serve. Come on. And we stir each other up. We've got to remind each other of the promises of the Lord, and we come alongside to help each other. It's a whole lot more than just doing church one day a week for an hour and a half. And so, stirring each other up, mutual encouragement. It's about love. It's a love. Because why does he say, grow not weary in well-doing, knowing that as you endure on and keep on, one day you're going to receive a great reward? Because we do wear down. The world pounds on us. The flesh screams at us. We spend much energies in striving to raise our families and pleasing unto the Lord and taking care of the kids and where they are and what they want to be and what they want to be doing. It's hard. And then you just got to be prayerful as a family. As a family. And talk about these things before the Lord. Because remember, as we said last week, everything in this world is transient. It's temporary. It's going to blow up. It's going to burn up. And only what's done and grown and invested and embodied in Christ is what will last. The Lord Jesus. He says, provoke one another. Provoke one another unto good works. Who in here likes to provoke? I mean, just encourage and get a little tough sometimes. Come on. Come on. Serving the Lord, that mutual encouragement and the Lord. I mean, there's no member of the body of Christ should ever be idle. There are always ways and places to serve, whether in the church as well as outside the church. And we must all exhort and call to obedient action each other. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, when this epistle was written, the final destruction of Jerusalem was near. It was very near. And when Rome started rampaging through the streets and into the homes, savagely, some stayed in the city, others fled to the mountains. And it was the employment of these kind of things that they kept each other going. They remembered the promises of Christ. They loved on each other. They would sacrifice their very lives for each other. So our duties in view of this, knowing that the day of the Lord is coming soon, in view of the judgment, our duties is number one, faithfulness to our baptismal confession. And you walked into the waters and identified with Christ and His church and being faithful unto the Lord. That is central to the believer. Duty to stir up and to love to good works. You know, in a very considerate, having a considerate, loving, serving, caring attitude. Kindness. Kindness to one another. And always wearing the apron servant for the other. And assembling yourselves for worship. That's a duty. And it is one that when you make your way to the house of the Lord as a premium, as a priority on a Sunday morning, you will find that that alone is going to help you, empower you, establish you for every other matter in life. Just by attending church, the stat still stands that 9 out of 10 marriages press on. That you'll know the wisdom and guidance for everything in life, in your job, in your family, it's just everything. There is the blessing of the Lord in this, and you are faithful to His word and His command. Young people, children, hear it. And grow up wise in the Lord. Wise in the Lord. Assembling yourselves together. As we close, I want us to look here at verses 32, 3, 4, and 5. And this is very important. Recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle and sufferings. They're going to come. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Did you get that verse? Treated badly, persecuted, you came alongside others. You were marked, for you had compassion on me, Paul says, in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Paul is encouraging them to stand fast. Remember, dear Christian, remember, always remember the day, and you will, that you gave your heart to Christ. And somewhere along then in the journey, you came to that ultimate reality and realizing that the price that you must pay, that the price that I am willing to pay for Jesus Christ, He is far greater than anything I will ever give Him. And as dearly as I love dairy farming, people say, you gave up farming? In reality, I gave up nothing. But yet I did. But it was nothing in comparison to serving the Lord and His call. It doesn't compare. So I kissed my dear Moo-Moos goodbye. Serving the Lord. But there's going to come a moment. It's going to be the moment. Or a series of moments. You got to remember that when you decided to follow Jesus, when you fully understood where He was, who He was, and what He required, and oh, my Lord, my God, in that moment, remember, when it's really tough, when it's really struggling, and even if it's the point of your life, remember, remember the Word of God. Remember, remember, remember that you have a far greater reward, and Christ is far worth it all. That's what He is writing, and that is what He is saying. He says, remember, like where we studied a couple weeks ago, the ultimate is Christ, what you've gained in Christ. Remember that. Remember that what you have in Christ, it is unshakable from your life, no matter what happens to your life. Remember that. Christ. Never devalue or shrink back. Always Christ. And remember that Christ is worth it all. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love You. We bless You. Lord, Lord, oh, we need a few more hours in here, Lord. And God, to purify our hearts, establish us in the ways of the Lord. God, Your word, as it's been dispensed this morning, Your word, born into the hearts, press it down, cover it over. And God, let it bring forth great fruit in our lives. It's a challenging and difficult day, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get darker. And God, that we would shine brighter and brighter unto the Lord. We praise You, God, for the body of Christ. We praise You for each local assembly. Whatever the banner that under which it goes. you are Christ. In that assembly where Christ is honored, His word is honored, it is the body, the pure assembly of Christ. The Lord Jesus, be honored and exalted in our lives, that we will deem our lives totally for You, even to the point of death, in pursuing You in our life, because You are the ultimate, O Christ. You are the Lord. And You bought us all, saved all who calls upon Your name. Lord Jesus, that we live for You, our mighty fortress. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are Christ, bought with a great price. signed by Jesus, sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're His. Go live like you're His. Rejoice like you're His. Win the lost like you're His. Encourage each other like you're His. Go in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We plead with you. And knowing in all things, God, you are the ultimate. You are the King of glory. And your covering of love over us is indescribable. The power of your Spirit within us that we go forth waging a good war against sin and evil. And God, and that the flesh be denied. Lord Jesus, we bless you today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Each day you feed us, you take care of us. And Lord, may we be a blessing and an honor to your holy name. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray for his sake and his glory. And together we say, amen. Amen.